Okay, tonight, if you have your Bibles, I'm going to try to take us from the first chapter on into the second chapter in one lesson. We've done a lot of repetition over the events in this book of Hebrews. And, of course, I believe it was written by Apollos because he was mighty in the Scriptures. He was a Jew basically, of the diaspora, and Aquila and Priscilla took him aside and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. But he was, back in 1 Corinthians, I think it's about the 13th chapter, he was preaching, and then after he finished preaching, then they took him aside privately and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now, we have to realize that we are going from one dispensation to another Apollos was a disciple of John the Baptist. And then we have that John the Baptist is 6 months older than our Lord, and he was the forerunner of our Lord. And he called the nation who was under law. They've said all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. When they heard that law given orally by God, they should have said, all that the Lord has spoken, it's impossible for us to do. But if you look at the various religious systems in the world, there are varying degrees, but they're all based upon some sort of man-made morality. And people never ask the question, it's a very important question, what is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Or what is a knowledge of good and evil? By definition, it's man's morality. And the devil substituted that for the tree of life. Now, God is an omniscient God. And I appreciate the fact that when Debbie's teaching our young children, she teaches them about God, who he is. So, you know, those kids, their parents may never have heard the word omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, immutable, immutability, all of these different things. But these are the attributes of God. And God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. Well, what does that say to us? It says it's impossible for the natural man to worship God. Why? Because the natural man is spiritually dead. When Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the whole human family, which would come from his lines, is from that point on, is born, how? Dead in trespasses and in sin. Now, fundamentally speaking, most of the churches that call themselves fundamentalists are anything but fundamental. And the reason they are not fundamental is they put great emphasis on the life of you as a believer. Now, good behavior is always better than bad behavior. Now, there are consequences to all kinds of behavior, but, if I were to tell you, in order for you to have a right relationship with God, you have to do this, you have to do that, you mustn't do this, and you mustn't do that, I would be lying to you. And no lie is of the truth. So, as the writer to the Hebrews is revealing to us the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is God who became man. So let's begin reading this. All things were made by him, and without anything, and there was nothing made that was made that wasn't made by him. Now, when Eve was deceived, she was deceived by a tree that gave her a knowledge of good and evil, which God forewarned not to eat of that tree. What would be the consequences? The consequences are, the day you eat thereof, you shall not
surely
might die. No, you shall surely die. There's no question about it. Adam and Eve died the moment they tasted of that tree. They didn't die physically, but they died spiritually. They were spiritually alive before because they were born in the image of God, and God is a triune God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and three parts. We as redeemed individuals are also tripart beings. You know, before we're saved, we're just a body and a soul, and we have no capacity to communicate with God. But through the preaching of the word, the scripture says by our Lord, go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel. Gospel is good news. What's the good news? Well, the good news really is there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. But that being the case, there's no hope of heaven in man, but in the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He came in the fullness of time, was born of a woman, born under the law, to do what? To redeem them who were under the law. So the Jews were under the law, but the redemption goes beyond that. All of us, at some point in time, put ourselves under law. And, you know, we talk about better to do this, better to do that, but the better things, do we always do the better? More often than not, we do the worst. Yeah. And in the age in which we live, things that were counted to be sin, you know, just for centuries by the morality of the world, which is anything but perfect, are now suddenly, whatever they are, you know, you can't say anything against any sort of behavior. And it's ridiculous, but it tells us that we're, you know, getting close to the end of the age. One of these days, the Lord is going to cause that trumpet to sound. And, you know, I've been preaching about it a good percentage of my ministry and thinking about it and knowing that, you know, one way or the other, either the Lord's going to come or he's going to take my life. You know, when? I don't know exactly when. I'm already 20 years past the allotted time. And I figure the only reason that I'm still here is he still has something for me to do. And so it may not be to the standard that you're used to, because this old body of mine is wearing out. My memory is not as good. But God controls my mouth. Remember when Moses was supposed to go before Pharaoh and say this to that, say that to Pharaoh, and he's, I can't do that. I don't speak well. He says, well, your brother Aaron speaks well. He'll go with you. But when you read the account of all the judgments of those 10 false gods in Egypt, do you ever see Aaron speaking? No, it's always Moses. No. The man who couldn't speak well did a lot of speaking. And, of course, he wrote the first 5 books of our Bible, which we call the Pentateuch, you know, from the word penta, which is 5. And so, yeah, 5 first books of the New Testament, or Old Testament, were written by a man who couldn't speak well. Yeah. And I guess he could write well, because he wrote under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. And with us, you know, when we think about it, and I've thought about it a lot, I'm not going to tell the same old war stories, but I was called into the ministry less than a year after I was saved, and I was in Bible college a year and a half after I was saved. And I taken in enough of the Word of God, I've explained the circumstances so that in my job in the Air Force, suddenly I had a lot of time on my hands. And then there were nights when I had to pull CQ, have to be awake all night, take care of the troops that that were sleeping. And, you know, it wasn't a matter of just reading, you know, a few verses and quitting, or even a chapter and quitting. It was reading whole books, you know. And I was younger, and the Lord, you know, gave me a good memory. You know, I'm not boasting anything, but when I was in school, school was easy for me. You know, and actually, my junior and senior year of high school, I worked 40 hours a week in a market in Wilmington, California. Went to school in Norwalk, California, and about a 20-mile drive to get to work. And that little town grew so fast. We had one high school that took care of five peripheral cities. And so it was incredible. I think we had, I'm afraid to say, but the number of seniors, well, we had the whole school populated from 7 o'clock in the morning till noon was juniors and seniors, and from about 12:30, 1 o'clock, then for the rest of the day were the freshmen and the sophomores. Yeah, one high school for five communities that were growing so rapidly. Norwalk went from 15,000. Before the war, to, it was well over 60,000 when I was living there, and then it saturated at 100,000. You know, can't get any bigger. So a lot of kids, but I was able to work 40 hours a week because God gave me a good memory. You know? And so, and then he gave me plenty of time to study his word. So let's, we'll just talk about the fall of Eve. I've spoken about this before. But Eve was deceived into believing that she lacked something. And that's the way, think about it. Pentecostal movement, different movements, they all say, if you belong to us, you would have something more. Yeah. Well, everyone that's actually born again is indwelt by God's Holy Spirit, and His Spirit is regenerated and made alive. And so many of these groups, they don't believe in the eternal security of the believer, but Christ made how many sacrifices for sin? Just one. And that's all sin past, all sin present, all sin future. And God knows you're going to sin, but His covenant relationship is what? Your sins and iniquities will I remember against you when? Never or no more. All right, so God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers, that's in the Old Testament, that's with the prophets, and men like Moses, the various prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, different ones. David's, Solomon, you know, men were of God were moved by the Holy Spirit, and if you study the book of Daniel, Daniel actually wrote things he didn't know what they meant, and in trying to, you know, understand what God had given him to write, he actually got physically ill. So when he asked the Lord about it, the Lord said, close the book, Daniel. It's not for your time. And so we can go back and read Daniel, and it's like reading, you know, we're getting close to those books of Daniel that Daniel couldn't understand for those books to be fulfilled. You know, part of it's been fulfilled in our Lord's first advent, and the remainder of it will be fulfilled in the reign of the Antichrist and our Lord's second advent. So God, who at sundry times hath in these last days, verse 2, spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all. You know, everything in this universe, you know, belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. Who, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. Now, God is a spirit, and spirit is incorporeal, doesn't have a body. Jesus manifested Himself in a human body. He did so in the Old Testament by taking a body for certain visitation. But to perform His ministry on the earth, He had to have a body that was related to us. So if He was related by natural generation, then He would have had a sin nature the same as we do, because it's a medical fact. Dr. DeHaan wrote about this in his little book.
The Chemistry of the Blood.
Thank you. Anyway, in that book, the chemistry of the blood is such that our sin nature is in our blood, which we get from our Father. So if Jesus had been naturally the son of Joseph, you know, Joseph was his foster father, but God was his father. So the blood that flowed in the veins of the Lord Jesus Christ was not contaminated with sin, but our blood is. Therefore, you know, you don't have to teach a child to misbehave. It's like a song back in the 40s, doing what comes naturally. Yeah. A very popular song. Okay. So, who is Christ? He's the brightness of God's glory and the express image of God's person, and upholding all things by the word of His power. That is, everything consists because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. The various solar system systems, the way the earth, the moon rotates around the earth and takes, approximately a month, 27 days, to make one revolution around. And it takes us a year to make one revolution around the sun. And by virtue of that, everybody's concerned with climate change. Something, man doing something. But they never think about the fact that for 1,000 years, if the Lord or if the Antichrist came today, we would have to be gone. And then 7 years later, we would come with the Lord Jesus Christ. He would establish His kingdom, and we would live with Him on this earth for what? 1,000 years. And then He's going to judge. A lot of people miss it, but in the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew, there are certain people, inasmuch as you've done it on one of these, the least of my brethren, they've done good works, and they enter the kingdom age based upon work. They're primarily Jews, okay? And they're not saved, but they're in the millennial reign of Christ. And if you think about it, what does God do at the beginning of that reign? He binds Satan and puts him in a pit, okay? 1,000 years elapse, and then what does He do? He lets Satan out of the pit, and at the same time, then when he comes out of the pit, those people that have lived under the rule of our Lord for 1,000 years, not believers, just as much as you've done it under one of these, at least of my brethren, you've done it unto me. Good works. Well, salvation's not by good works. And what are they going to do? As soon as the serpent activates their fallen nature, they're going to rise and come against the camp of the saints. We're regenerated. We're in the image of God. They're going to come against the camp of the saints and try to destroy it. And then God's going to send down fire from heaven and burn them up. After that, the Lord's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And in that new heaven and the new earth, all of the telescopers, the people who study, the astrologers and astronomers and all of those type astrologers trying to figure out what you're going to do next in your sinful life, whereas the astronomers are dealing with, I don't know what they think they're dealing with. Yeah. But they keep looking for something like our solar system, because we can't live without the sun. We can't live without fresh water, And in order for us to have fresh water, here in Oregon, we get quite a bit of what? Rain. Why? Because out in the Pacific, the sun evaporates salt water, and it rises and forms clouds, comes across the earth at various altitudes, drops rain, drops snow, drops, hail, that sort of thing. And all of that is what kind of water? It's fresh water. It's been distilled by the process of evaporation. You want to know about evaporation? Just go down in the hills of Tennessee, and they'll show you all about evaporation in a thing called a still. But it separates the alcohol from all of the other constituent parts to make whiskey or whatever. Depends upon the grain what you get. Okay, so it says then, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, being made so much better than whom? The angels. Yeah. When the people talk about the apex of perfection, they always refer to angels before they even think about the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord Jesus Christ is God incarnate, and he's how much better than the angels? So much better. Beyond your imagination, better. Okay, as he have by inheritance. It was God's plan for his son to rule all. Now, it's not strange for a God to be a triune God. As believers, we're triune beings. Naturally, I have a soul, and then I have a physical body, born to Willard Nasal Andre. Okay, then when I was 21 years old and under the sound of the gospel for the very first time, to my knowledge, I had perfect attendance in the cradle roll, but I wasn't old enough to understand what was being preached. But Mom said, "I'm going to church tomorrow. Would you like to go with me?" And I said, "Well, we came to see you. If that's where you're going to be, that's where we're going to be." And that day I was saved. Joanna then saved going to a church in Norwalk when she was about 12, and I didn't know anything about it. She never talked about it. Yeah. And her dad did the same thing as his mother did to him. He addressed the Lord as his Savior about the same period of life, and he wanted to be baptized. His mother said, "You don't know what you're doing." She wouldn't let him be baptized. And then when Joanne wanted to be baptized, then Art did the same thing with her that his mother had done with him. But the day that I was saved, then we were both baptized that evening. Okay. Born into the family of God. But, at age, 21? And so it says of the Lord, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For under which of the angels, think about this, under which of the angels said he at any time, "Thou art my son"? Angels are spirit beings. They can take a human body. They can manifest themselves in different ways. But they are primarily spirit beings. "Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee." In other words, no angel was begotten of God. They were created by God, but not begotten of God. What's the difference? One's by virtue of a birth. God's Holy Spirit came upon Mary, and that thing which was formed in her was of what? Of the Holy Spirit, who is God. And so the Son of God came into this world by a natural birth, but it wasn't a natural pregnancy. It was supernatural pregnancy. And God was the Father. So It says, God said to of the Lord Jesus Christ, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. You can see that back in Psalm 2 and 2 Samuel chapter 7. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels what? Spirits. Angels are spirit beings. And his ministers a flame of fire. So angels can manifest themselves in many different ways. But under the sun, he saith what? Thy throne, O God. Now, how many gods are there? There's only one. Are you three people or one? As a believer, you have a body, you have a soul, and you have a spirit, and you're indwelt by the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, according to the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. So we as believers are indwelt by the Godhead, no matter where we go. God is always with us. We don't have to be in church to pray. Roman church, basically, they want you to go and light a candle. It costs so much for those candles. And it shows a means of making money. And again, when he brings in the first begotten into the world, he said, and let all the angels of God. Now, people count angels to be the ultimate of spirituality. Well, one third of them are the ultimate of that which is evil, because they believed that Lucifer could make himself God, and they worshipped him as God. So we have angels and we have fallen angels. And he goes on to say, and of the angels, he said, who maketh his angels spirits, they're a spirit being, incorporeal, and his ministers a flame of fire, but unto the Son he saith. Now, people use the name of our Lord as a curse word. They will take Jesus and they'll take his title, Christ. They put them together and use it as a form of swearing. And he said, but unto the Son he saith, thy throne what? O God. Now, what about people? And God is a merciful God. You haven't committed the unpardonable sin when you cursed and done many other things that, we know are wrong. But God's in the business of saving people. But you can take the some of the most evil people in the world, and they think they're good. I don't want to name any names, because all of them I would name would be Democrats, and you'd think I'd be being biased, and I am. Okay. But under the sun he saith thy throne. Who? God. Oh, God. So who is Jesus Christ? Let's go back to John 1:1 for just a minute. We've quoted this each time we've been in this study. It says, in the beginning was the Word. What is a word? It's an expression. Does a word have corporeality? No. We can take a word, we can say it, and we can read it if we print it on a page, or we can write it if we write it on a page, but it has no physical aspect. Graphite on paper with little squiggly marks, if the right kind of squiggly marks, then it becomes a word that we recognize, and then we can put them together into sentences and so forth, and so we call it reading. So all things were made by whom? Well, they were made by God. They were made by the Son of God. Because God the Father and the Son are what? One person. You have a body, you have a soul, and you have a spirit. But you're what? One person. And so it goes on to say, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. It's an interesting fact. I don't know whether I have it in my Bible anymore or not. But back in the year 2000, I read an article, and this man had he was trying to refute the concept of evolution. And he said, okay, we'll go to the time of the flood, because at that point in time, 1,600 years after the original creation, we have the time of the flood. And from that to the year 2000, when this problem was solved, he said, let's take a person, I think it's 2.4, 2.5, you know, 2.5 persons per generation from the time of the flood to the year 2000, and all the peoples of the world. At that time, the total came out to 5 billion. And the population of the world in 2000 was 550 billion people. So you're in the ballpark, right? Now, evolutionists went more than a million years. But let's go 1 million years, take the same number of people, you know. So we have the 8 people that were in the ark, figure it out to the year 2000. So, and that takes in famines and floods and big times and low times, you know, all that's factored in. So that would produce a population in 2000 of 10 to the 2047th power. That's 10 with 2047 zeros after it. I can't even say that number. Yeah. So all these people that are looking for bones like Leakey, when you, I don't know if it was Leakey or Lakey, but in Africa, you know, found a bone. You know, they hunt and hunt and hunt and can never find a bone. If we had 2,000 to the 10 to the 2,047th time, you know, that's 10 with 2,047 zeros behind it. Finding bones shouldn't be a problem. We should be able to pave our streets with them. Yeah, but man calls that science. That's not science. You know, that's science fiction. Now we go on and say, says, thou hast loved righteousness, that's who God is, and hated iniquity. And iniquity is that which is in us, which causes us to think that we can make ourselves like God by the life that we, or the things that we can do. You know, most of the time it's used of the bad things that we do. But, you know, God hates iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellow. Who is Jesus Christ? He's God. Who's going to reign forever and ever? The Lord Jesus Christ. Who is made up of what? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And how are we going to be with him all that period of time? In a body that he's going to give me that no longer has a sin nature, because no blood. You know, what the new body will be like, I have no idea. I don't know whether we're going to go around real white because there's no blood. But whatever it is. Yeah. Now it's loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth. You know, in the beginning when? In the beginning of our present solar system. When God is eternal, he was here long before the solar system was here. But at a point in time, he created the entire universe. Now, when it comes to creation, you know, we make things out of things. So we don't really create. God takes nothing and makes whatever he wants while you're speaking it into existence. So Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. You know, with our greatest telescopes and looking into space, and even men that have been in space and been able to look back at the earth. This earth looks like a jewel in space. And God provided everything for this jewel so that it could sustain life. And that life was created by God. It didn't evolve. The animals were created by God. They didn't evolve. Have some animals died off? Yes. You know? And we're always finding new kind of fish as we get deeper and deeper in the ocean. You know? And they shall perish. That is, everything that's on this earth, because the Lord's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. And he says, and they shall perish, but thou remainest. And they shall wax old as doth a garment. What do you do with an old garment? You cast it aside. Yeah. You don't wear it anymore. Either it doesn't fit because your belly got too big, or it's got holes in the elbows. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up. The word fold them up here is really a Greek word, which, you know, when you go camping and you're going to pick up your sleeping bag, what do? Do you fold it or roll it? You roll it up. Yeah. And that's what this means. The vesture is like a sheet of material, like a blanket. And so it says, as a vesture shalt thou roll them up, and they shall be changed, but what? Thou art the same. God is eternally the same. And thy years shall not fail. You know, God became a man. We count his age till the time of his death. So Jesus was approximately 33 years old when he was put to death. But to which of the angels said he at any time? You know, think about that. In all of eternity, did God ever say to the angels, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? No, but he said that to his son. So then he goes on to say, are they not all ministering spirits? That's what angels are, spirit beings. And they're sent forth to minister to them who will. Who? What? who shall be the heirs of salvation? Angels will minister to you and me throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. Yeah. That's right now, because of a human body, because of a sin nature, the man was made a little what? A little lower than the angels. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. You know, God has revealed himself in the Old Testament. He spoke directly to Moses. He gave Moses certain things to write for a period of time. He spoke directly to the prophets and gave them what to write. But then the time came when, let not God speak with me anymore. Okay. So, for if the words spoken by angels, now, angels are less than God by a great degree. God is the creator of all angels. And God is creator of man. So he says, lest at any time the things spoken by God, we should let them slip. In other words, it's happening to me in my old age because my memory is not what it used to be. I blame it on the fact that I don't breathe very well with my heart out of rhythm, so it's not getting enough oxygen, but I don't want to carry around one of those little things with two slots in my nostril. Yeah. So, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heir of salvation? When you're reading these books, these were letters, no chapter divisions. The chapter divisions, the verse divisions, are wonderful references. It enables us to find ourselves one place to another. But when I wrote Joanne when I was in the Air Force, and I missed her so much, I wrote her every single day. You got a little bit of time before lights out, so you sit on your bed and you write your sweetheart. Prior to that, I don't think I ever wrote a letter to anybody, unless it was to get a Jack Armstrong special ring, decoder ring. I think I did that with a box top once. Yeah. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip, or they just kind of, slip away from us. For if the word spoken by angels, now, God used angels to speak to men and to warn them of certain things that were going to transpire, and every transgression and disobedience of those things spoken by angels. But angels are not the highest authority. God's the highest authority. And every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. God spoke it to the angels. The angels spoke it to man. And anybody that didn't pay attention, they were punished accordingly. And he says to us, how shall we escape? Now, this book of Hebrews, written to Jews, had a covenant relationship with God by law. And he says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? No one can be saved by law. The law demands perfection. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, how much flesh is going to be justified? No flesh. Okay. So we got to toss out our morality. Is it better to be good than to be bad? Sure. There are consequences to being bad. In the age in which we live, doesn't seem to be much. But, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by whom? The Lord. That's Jesus Christ. That's God incarnate. And was confirmed unto us. Who are the us? Us are people who heard these things from the disciples, the apostles, and from various ones who were eyewitnesses of our Lord. So what does that do to making Paul the author of the book of Hebrews? Paul was an eyewitness of our Lord's ministry. The writer to the book of Hebrews was not, of the people revealed in Scripture. And we still don't know, except he spoke to Jews and was very mighty in the Scripture. Apollos. And Aquila and Priscilla had to take him aside when they heard him preach, and they did it the way it should be done. They were co-workers with Paul. And so they took Apollos aside, I think it's the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and expounded unto him the word of God more perfectly. All that Apollos knew was Old Testament doctrine. Now, they took him aside, and, he preached mightily. And then after he got a little bit more understanding, he convinced many, many, many Jews that Jesus is the Christ. Okay. So, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, the eyewitnesses? God also bearing them witness, both with what? Signs. Our Lord came, he healed the sick, he caused the blind to see, lepers were cleansed. All of those things were done because the Jews require a sign. Our Lord's ministry were the Jews under law. And think about it, the rich young ruler who came to Jesus and said, good master, what good thing must I do to enter the kingdom? And so the Lord said, well, keep the commandments. And he said, which? And so he named all but one. But he divided one, so it appeared like he spoke all 10. And he said, and the young ruler said, all of these have I kept from my youth up. what lack I yet? And he said, if thou wilt be perfect, you know, sell what you have and give it to the poor, and take up your what? Cross. What's the cross? Cursed is everyone or anyone that hangeth on a tree. So take up your curse and come to me. You know. And that's, you know, you can't get to God by religion. You can't get to God by good works. You know. You can't get to God by, being elected president of the United States and promising all of your needs are going to be met by one government that is so beneficent. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Doesn't make any sense. Printing money does what? Just inflates it. Yeah. And before World War II, the Germans, in order to buy a loaf of bread, had to have a wheelbarrow full of marks to buy it. You know, now we need a tanker full of money to buy a gallon of the gasoline. It's getting pretty ridiculous. You know how much gasoline was when I graduated from high school? It was 17.9 cents at the server self station. If you got service, it was 18.9. And I, during the Depression era, when I was just a boy, I've seen 5 cent gasoline in my lifetime. And what I'm seeing now, it's incredible. But we're going to take care of you from the cradle to the grave. And when that number gets too big, we'll make sure a lot of you are in your grave. So, now, I want to read a couple more verses, and then we'll stop. For under the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. What's the world when our Lord creates a new heaven and a new earth? Who's going to reign over that new heaven and new earth? The Lord Jesus Christ and his saints. That's us. Yeah. We're going to be in that position. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that thou visitest him? Thou madest man a little lower than the angel. Thou crownest man with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, wherein that he put all in subjection under him. He left nothing that is not put under him, but now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see what? We see Jesus, who was made, because he became a man, a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, and crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man, for it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain or the author of their salvation perfect health through suffering. He had to pay for your sins and my sins on the cross of Calvary. He had to shed his blood in order for us to be redeemed, because without the shedding of blood is what? No remission. Let's pray. Father, we praise you and thank you for your wonderful love and goodness to us, for your grace. We pray that you bless the truth of the Word of God to our hearts and minds, that we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pray as this word goes out on our website and on the disc that we send out, we pray that you'll use it to reach people in the world with the truth of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.